Now read from the Bible. Today's passage is Mark 1, verses 1 through 8. Once again, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for Him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that you are reigning over this entire world. We know that you protect us and you encourage us and you provide guidance for us and strength too. Lord, we know that we are part of your plan. We know that you are the true God of heaven and earth. Dear Jesus, we ask that in this message we're about to hear, that we're enabled to have our hearts open to hear from you. Allow us, Lord, allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. We have great expectations, and thank you for this opportunity, praising out your name, and praying in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Today is Mother's Day, and it's likely that in your households you are expressing gratitude to your mothers. I encourage you also not to forget about Father's Day that's coming up. And it's said that there's more financial input on Mother's Day, but please remember fathers are also doing a good job too. Today we're looking at Mark, and we'll be looking at the first part of it today. There was a book put out in Japan. It's a children's book, a picture book called Slow Moving Steamroller. And it's actually really quite famous. The famous steamroller in this book is the main character, and he just slowly steamrolls roads. In the story, it tells how the steamroller was working, and all these sports cars and all these other luxury cars are just saying, you're in the way, you're going too slow, and they fly right by him. But steamroller, slow-moving steamroller, he just keeps on going at his pace. And after a while, he sees that this luxury car and sports car had flat tires, and they were stuck on this road that was all uneven ahead of him. And the steamroller comes up, and when they see the steamroller, they're like, oh, his purpose is to make a road for us to go on so we could actually go without getting our tires punctured. When you're reading this book, you can realize and think about the purpose of preparing the way for something. In our society, when somebody does something really great, there's a lot of media put on that person. But of course, you have to look at the bigger picture and what was supporting them, enabling them to do so. For example, last month there's a Matsuyama golf player who actually won the Japan men's masters for the first time. And in order for him to do that, though, a lot of other people had to pave the way, in a sense. And that can be said about the same for various other things as well. As for Isaac Newton, who developed the law of universal gravitation, he said, "If I was able to see farther than anyone else, it would be because I am standing on the shoulders of a giant." In other words, he was saying if he was able to accomplish anything or discover something, it's only because he is able to do so based on what others have done in the past. So he was actually expressing gratitude to those in the past. In today's passage as well, it's talking about preparing the way and the person who did so for the Jews. And that was John the Baptist. He was preparing the way for the Savior, the Messiah, and that was a huge job. We're going to be looking at John the Baptist today and looking at the theme of the one to prepare the way. Let's look at the content first. You have to first understand the historical context in the Old Testament prophecies to understand what's going on here. In the Old Testament, it actually was started around 1500 BC to 400 BC. So if you simplify the content, it tells of the start of the world and then up to the start of Israel. In various parts of the Old Testament, it talks about how there would be a Savior coming out of this Jewish people, and the people would be spread around the world. At the end of the Old Testament, it has the prophet Malachi take the stage. This was around 400 AT when this was supposedly written. Today, we're looking at Mark, and the time for this was actually around 30 AD. So it's about 400 years later. In your Bible, you can see how the Old Testament and New Testament are right next to each other, but actually there was a period of about 400 years between the two. In the times of the book of the Mark was written, actually Israel was under the rule of the huge Roman Empire. And many Israelites were suffering under this, and they were eagerly awaiting for their Savior that had been promised to them. In the Old Testament, it talks about the Savior and various prophecies about him. And some are mentioned in Malachi and others in Isaiah and so on. It tells about how before the Savior would come, that there would be some other prophet who would prepare his way. And this is John the Baptist that we're talking about today. He said that he himself was the one who was prophesied in the Old Testament to be the one to prepare the way. Mark also understood that in verses 2 and 3 today, he expresses this from the book of Isaiah, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight his paths for him." In other words, Mark realized that John the Baptist truly was the one who was to prepare the way for the Messiah. John the Baptist is the one who did prepare the way, and he was actually and agreed and confessed that that's who he was. So this was a very high point in this text. So let's look about exactly who this John the Baptist was, his image and his message. It says he's the one of the voice of calling in the wilderness. So he was one who worked and spent time in the wilderness. And you can remember Elijah and refer to the screen where there's paintings by Da Vinci. It shows the camel's hair and how that was common in actually those days for people living now in the wilderness. It says that he was eating locusts and honey. And if you look at just those words, you would think, gosh, this is just some wild animal or something, not a person. But actually, that's not the case. It was the normal food for someone who lived out in the wilderness. According to the Jews, they couldn't eat insects. The only one they were permitted to eat was actually locusts. And even today, there are some even cooking programs for such types of food. In Japan, too, we have a similar type of thing that you may have eaten before as well. If we start talking a lot about eating bugs, then the son is going to be upset because he really likes bugs, so I'll stop talking about that subject right now. But this was John the Baptist was and what he was eating and wearing. So what kind of message did he have for the world? That's mentioned in verse 2. It's a message of the kingdom of God coming near, and we're to repent and believe the good news. And this is something that was a very striking message for those people of that time, because the people in Israel in those days, if they were born in Israel, already thought that they would automatically get into the kingdom of God. So they didn't think they needed to be forgiven for anything. They only thought the Gentiles had to ask for forgiveness and repent of their sin. But John was saying, no, you have to repent of your sin, because the Savior would soon be coming. So he was encouraging them to be prepared by repenting of their sin. That was his message. Many people understood it, accepted it, and were baptized by John in the Jordan River. So a baptism involves getting in and out of water. And it's something that is actually a little different than one he did than the one we do today. The baptism we do today expresses a symbol of us being given new life because we've asked for repentance, we've repented of our sins and asked for forgiveness, and we've dedicated our lives to Christ. However, at that time, Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection and so on had not been completed, so why was it that they were doing a baptism in the river at that time? It's because these people were just following the instructions of what John the Baptist was telling, and he was stating how the Messiah would be coming, and in the same way, when they followed John, then they would follow Jesus. So that was the purpose of John the Baptist's baptisms. The people who are awaiting the Messiah, many of them followed this. And it says, actually, that a lot of people came to him at that time. And this is actually a word meaning that, inferring that John had a huge sphere of influence at that time. And so in this way, many people understood in Israel that the Messiah would soon be coming. And this also is when Jesus came to John the Baptist to be baptized, which will be addressed in a later message. So let's look at the application of today's passage. From this passage, we can understand that there needs to be a prepare for someone to come. All people need a Savior. They're all awaiting a Savior. The people of Israel had been waiting a long time for the Savior. In the Old Testament, it had been prophesied many times and said that eventually he would come. And the people who actually were living at the time of John were ones who could see the Savior who did come. On April 10th, 2019, that would be a date, actually, that many people who like outer space would definitely remember, because it's the first time when a black hole was successfully filmed, and it was a great feat for science. It was based on Einstein's theory of relativity. However, even though people could understand it theoretically, there's many people who didn't see it. humanity actually progressed from Einstein's time, and they found out that this black hole is actually 55 million light years away, 2,000 trillion years if you went by Shinkansen. There it is on the screen. It's not exactly a clear image, but that's what it was finally proven to be true. So people could finally see what they had been told would be was truly out there. In the same way, in today's passage, a lot of people had been waiting for the Messiah, and finally they could see him. And this was something huge, bigger scale than that of a black hole. The ancestors of mankind, Adam and Eve, committed sin. And then after that, it was prophesied that a Savior would come to save people from sin and resolve this problem. And this is something that would have been truly impressive. When you're waiting for a Savior and you're thinking about what that means, you can understand that actually all people are waiting for a Savior. Even if people don't realize it, it's still true. In the Bible, it says that all people were created in the image of God. So if you think about where is it in your body that actually looks similar to God, well, it's not your physical appearance, but rather it's your spiritual existence. And that is what is similar to that of God and how we are made in His image. We are all have this spiritual existence, and we are created to have a relationship with God. If we don't have a relationship with God, then we can feel that something in our hearts just isn't right and that we're amiss. It's likely when you look back over your lives that there may be times when you're like, oh, something just doesn't seem right. You know, you may not have problems with, you know, friends or family members, and there may not have been something totally off, but you were just like, something is just not right. And this is something that likely everybody has experienced. And that's because your heart is just thirsty for God. Many people try to fulfill this with something they can see visibly. They try to get more money or have more relationships, have a family and children. However, even though those things can satisfy us temporarily, they don't have this lasting effect, and they can't completely satisfy our hearts. There's an American author by the name of David Foster Wallace. He wasn't a Christian, and just a few years ago, before he passed away, he gave a graduation speech at the Kenyon College. And he actually, based off of that, a book was published entitled This Is Water. In his speech, he talked about exactly how people are trying to fill their emptiness in their hearts with just something. He was speaking to graduates, and he said the following in his speech. He said, "Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship. And the only compelling reason for maybe choosing some sort of God or spiritual thing to worship is that pretty much anything else you worship will eat you alive. If you worship money and things, if they are where you tap into real meaning in life, that you will never have enough. You will never have enough. It's the truth. Worship your body and beauty and sexual allure, and you'll always feel ugly. Worship power. You will end up feeling weak and afraid. And you will never, ever need ever more power over others to numb your own fear. Worship intellect, being seen as smart, and you will always end up feeling stupid, a fraud, always on the verge of being found out." So he was saying, even though he was an atheist, that all people have this emptiness in their heart, and they're just desperate to fill it with something. And regardless of what it is, it just can't satisfy the person's heart. And it actually brings about distraught. Many people try to fill this thirst in their heart with something visible. However, we understand that it is possible to satisfy this thirst in our soul, and that's through Jesus Christ alone. There's a French person by the name of Pascal, famous in the history, and he said the following. He said, "In my heart, only Jesus Christ can satisfy this cavity that I have in there. Jesus Christ is the true God, and by accepting Him and when we develop a relationship with Him, this cavity in our heart can finally be fulfilled and we can have a life with joy." The people of Israel were waiting for a Savior. And in the same way, all people, even today, are still waiting for this Savior. He needs to come into their hearts for them to be satisfied. So let's look once again at John the Baptist as a person preparing the way. Most people here, it's likely, have already confessed faith in Christ. When you're looking back on your life, you can think about how you actually came to know Him. And it's likely that many people prepared the way, in a sense, for you to meet Jesus. There are many people who possibly impacted you at your workplace or your school or even in your family. Maybe somebody invited you to a concert, Christian concert, or a church worship service, and maybe there were people in the service who welcomed you. There's somebody who told you the gospel, perhaps. And there's just other people, likely, that would have impacted you as well and led you, paving your way to know Jesus. As John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus Christ, there are many people who are preparing the way for others to come to meet Jesus Christ. It's likely that before you met Jesus Christ and after you met Jesus Christ, it's two different things. You feel it two different ways. Many people say many people openly confess that their lives truly did change by meeting Jesus Christ. If you haven't had that experience, it's likely that in your relationship with Jesus Christ, you will totally be changed by Him. And you can really confess one day that, yes, He has made a considerable difference. We have all been led to Christ by the work of others, and it's our turn now to lead others to Christ and to prepare the way for them to know Him. And when other people come to know Christ, they too can have that same, can have a similar testimony in how Jesus has impacted them as well. I'd like to tell one more story and then close today. In the 1990s, there was a prison, the Polsmoor prison in South Africa. In this prison, it was actually one where the people who committed the most violent crimes were sent. Robbery, murder, criminals were sent there. And there was often conflict between gangs within the prison. There were around 279 cases of violence there. It was just like almost every single day there was a problem. However, there was a Christian woman by the name of Joanna Flanders Thomas who started to work at this jail, and all of a sudden, the 279 cases of violence dropped down to 2 in the next year and went up a little bit to 8, but just totally decreased because of her work. There's media around the world focused in on what exactly was going on there. they were just amazed how one woman could make such a difference in all these violent criminals. So the media focused in on it. However, as they were following her, they found out that she wasn't really doing anything super special. What she was doing was that every day she would meet with the prisoners and she would tell about Jesus to them and talk about the simple message of forgiveness. Those who believed in Jesus Christ and asked for forgiveness of their sin came to know Christ. The TV station asked her, you know, how these most violent people in South Africa could really be changed so dramatically. And she replied by saying, before I started coming to this jail, Jesus was already here. I just came and allowed the prisoners to be able to see him. In other words, she said that what's really changed them is not her, but Jesus Christ. She just provided a way for them to meet him. And in this way, the hearts of the prisoners changed dramatically. All of the prisoners, many of them, repented, and many apologized to the victims of the bereaved people. They also sought a reconciliation with their families. When you go into this prison, you can see how there's actually a specific ward for prisoners who become Christians. And many gang slogans and something are such are usually written on the walls. But in this prison, actually on the wall, it has one gospel phrase written instead. And it says, God is truly here. He is truly here. Johannesson said that before she came, as I said before, that Jesus was already in that prison. She just made a way for the prisoners to be able to see him. God can change even the hearts of those who we think are just impossible to change. And that's something I'd like you to remember today. Now I'll read Mark 10:27. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Today we've looked at the topic of the one to prepare the way. The people of Israel had been waiting for a Savior for many, many years. And they had been waiting for this John the Baptist who would prepare the way for the Savior. He proclaimed who he was and that Jesus was still yet to come. We who know Jesus have the opportunity to share Jesus with others and this way prepare the way for them. If they can truly meet Jesus, then their lives truly will be changed. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this worship service today. We've been looking at the one to prepare the way today and how in the Old Testament, how it was prophesied that one would come to make the way for the Savior to come. We've seen how John the Baptist fulfilled this prophecy. We know that many people in Israel have been waiting for Jesus, and in the same way, we too, all people, are waiting for a Savior. Many people have thirst in their hearts, and they can't truly fill it with anything but you. We have already had the opportunity to know Jesus, so it's our responsibility and honor to be able to share him with others. We really are thankful that we have come to know Jesus and had our lives changed. We want to share this grace with others and allow them to experience it too. Please allow that to be so. We thank you for this time, praying in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we'll have a time of prayer and silence. And I'll pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen. That concludes today's worship service. We have some announcements, and then we'll be done. Please look at the screen in front.